Now, I want to mention just a few keys to discovering your gift. When we get into the particular characteristic, these things are very important. Number one, you got to be saved. If you're not saved, you're going to be very frustrated looking for a spiritual gift. You're not going to have one. You got to be saved. You got to know that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. You've received Him as your Lord and Savior. You've repented of your sin. You've asked Him to come into your life. Now, that's not complicated. It's not complex. It's very, very simple, but it's critical. You can't just be a member of the church and think that did it. You can't just think, well, my parents were saved, so that must make me saved. It won't do. You've got to be saved personally by trusting Jesus Christ yourself. Number two, you need to be experiencing victory over sin if you want to be sensitive enough to recognize your spiritual gift. In other words, if there is a major sin in your life that you're not repenting of, that you're just tolerating and allowing it, and you're walking in a defeated life because that sin's got you defeated, it's going to be tough for you to be sensitive and understand what your spiritual gift is. You need to have victory over sin. That may be the reason why God gave us Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 before He gave us chapter 12. You know, that Romans 6, 7, and 8 gives us powerful principles for overcoming sin and walking in victory in the Christian life. And then Romans chapter 12, we get to the spiritual gifts. So you need to be walking in spiritual victory. Number three, we have to concentrate on the needs of others. We're not going to be able to find our gift if we're just focused on ourselves, because the gift is for others. Talked about that a lot last time. It's for others, therefore we have to think about meeting other people's needs. What do we want to do to meet other people's needs? How do we think when it comes to meeting other people's needs? We have to think of others. You can't do it focusing on yourself. You can't find it in a vacuum. Number four, and this is an important one. Try to understand, as we get into these characteristics, what your true motive is for serving others. What's really going on down inside? What's the real reason I do what I do? Now, we're going to spend a lot of time on that, God willing, in upcoming sessions. But some people, for example, have become really pretty good at studying the Bible. And they know the principles for studying God's Word. They know how to study it. And we may assume, therefore, that they're a teacher. But they may have a deeper motive, a different motive that's a little deeper. That's what I mean, not more serious or more profound, just different, that's deeper inside. And the deeper motive might be, for example, to encourage growth in the body of Christ. They may have a different spiritual gift than teaching, even though that may seem that that's their gift. So you need to examine your real deep motives. Why do I want to do what I do? And we'll talk about that. Number five, we need to identify what other Christians do that tends to irritate you. It goes along with what I've said before. You see what they can't see. It's very common for that to happen. It happens in marriage. You know, it's very common in marriage. It's very common for people who have the gift of prophecy to be attracted to people who have the gift of mercy, because they admire each other's qualities that are different. And then once they're together, they start seeing those weaknesses and they start being irritated by them. Very, very common. So you can sometimes see things that irritate you and help you. Number six, understand the categories. I've already talked about that. Number seven, understand the characteristics and misuses of each gift. We're going to talk about those in detail, the characteristics of each gift and the misuses. Many times, in fact, probably all of us at one time or other have created problems in the body of Christ, at least maybe on a small scale, sometimes on a large scale, by abusing our gift. It's coming from a spiritual gift, but it's not really energized by the Holy Spirit. We're operating in the flesh instead of by the Spirit. And so we wind up causing harm, causing hurt. And many times we discover our gift by looking at ways we've misused it. It helps us figure out what it is. So God works good out of something bad sometimes. Number eight, be motivated to continue the effort by the knowledge that discovering your gift and using it, led by the Holy Spirit, will give you enormous joy and enormous satisfaction and enormous peace and a sense of fulfillment. And listen, maximum usefulness to the Lord with minimum weariness. You see, when we're operating outside our gift, we may be useful, but we may be wearing ourselves out. Maximum usefulness with minimum weariness. Number nine, this is two categories here that are real close. Some young, immature Christians have a difficulty understanding their spiritual gift because they just haven't taken the advantage of the opportunity, or they just haven't had the chance to start ministering to other people. They haven't thought much about other people's needs. They haven't been there very long. So it may be difficult for them. They may take a little time. And number 10, the last one, some mature believers who've been in the Lord a long time, this will include a lot of you. You've lived the Christian life for many years, and what's happened is, even you, though you might not have been conscious of it, you've learned some good characteristics from people with gifts different from you. And so you've learned how to do those things, and that's good. That's not bad. That's part of the purpose of the gifts. But because you've learned some of these other things over many years, it may at first confuse you a little bit about what your real motive is for wanting to do what you do. So be aware that some more mature believers may take a little time, too, to figure out what their spiritual gift is.